भवतु सह नौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
From the Srila Baladeva Vibhushana. Srila Baladeva Vibhushana is Govinda Bhashi gives an equivalent terminology. There are five parts in each subsection or adhikarana within the pada or section of the chapter. Because you have four chapters and each chapter has four parts, right? So within those parts there's the adhikarana. So within an adhikarana it has these five sections. That makes sense. Vishaya, subject, Shamshaya, doubt, Purva Paksha, objection, Siddhanta, conclusion, and Sangati, agreement with other scriptures. Footnote 6. These reflect the following verse, commonly found in the commentaries of Vedanta and Mimamsa Shastra, which describes the method of analysis of Vedic mantras. Vishayo, Vishayaschaiva, Purva Pakshas, Tato Taram, Nirnayas, Cheti, Panchangam, Shastre, Dikaranam Smritam. In a text, an adhikarana refers to a topic which consists of five elements. Vishaya, the subject matter, wherein the Vedic mantra in question is presented. 2. Shamshaya, doubts, regarding the various possible meanings of the mantra. 3. Purvapaksha, an opponent's interpretation of meaning which is logically presented. 4. Uttaram, an alternative viewpoint which points out the fallacies in logic of the opponent. And 5. Nirnaya, ascertaining the final meaning of the mantra. Right? So it's a standard process. So it's whether you're presenting your own, you're presenting what you're giving as an understanding, or whether you're dealing with an opposition. Right? So Gotama is just showing this is how the progress goes. Then if you're dealing with opposition, then there'll be more emphasis put in that area. Does that make sense? Therefore, because it has that difference, it also has different terminology. But it's actually the same thing. Yes?
Sorry if this is a really obvious question, but I was just wondering, it really helped me find what the purpose of this whole text is. Is this to understand how to...
means why are we getting into this?
Yeah. Is it
so that you understand, because this is how the Vedanta Sutra is written. So if you don't understand, it's just like, let's say for poetry, we appreciate that, every two lines are coupled and they rhyme, or every other line, or it's a haiku, or, it's just badly written, or, whatever it is. So then we can appreciate what's going on there. So if you don't appreciate how an adhikarana works, then it'll be harder to appreciate what's going on, right? And I'm not sure, here you give that point where Prabhupada says about if it's not done according to Panchanga Nyaya, it's not actually proper presentation. That'll come up. Yes, he's quoting Bhaktisiddhanta. That's coming up. Because the point will be made by Prabhupada quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that in basically scholarly circles, which mean, Vaishnav circles, that what you present has to be according to this. So if devotees would talk like this, it makes it easier. The difficulty is that in the Vedic system, they would talk like this so you could have a proper discussion.
Yeah.
Let's say you have your typical, somebody heard something, so then they, burst into the room and, so you said this is nonsense, you're always talking like this, why don't you have it like this? Okay. The other one is, I've heard this. Then you come in and I heard you said that. Is that true? Okay, they said it. Okay, why did you say that? You know, what is your reasons? What is your evidence? What is, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So we would consider the second one actually a more balanced and mature presentation, though not necessarily popular. Hollywood hasn't picked up on that one yet. You know what I'm saying? BBC uses it a bit, but, you know, Hollywood, you know, leaves it out. You understand? So the whole point is that this is how discussions go on nicely. Then you can tell. Otherwise, people come to conclusions and there's no opportunity for discussion. You understand? So that's why this is presented, so you can't have it. You want to say something? Your second head wants to say something. Oh, there's a whole body there. Well, that was just a head, because this is, I see your head, and this head pops out this way, and head pops out that way.
That's my more intelligent head.
You know, it says two heads are better than one, so hey, this is practical.
There's a side point to what Maharaj was explaining, that primarily we're studying knowledge here. This is philosophy. We're studying knowledge, and knowledge is structured in a certain way. So this is how knowledge is structured. If it's done in a different way, then technically you cannot call it gyan or knowledge. Yeah? So that's how a proper, true, authorized knowledge is structured. Everything else which is not structured like that is called something else, a mental speculation or concoction or misunderstanding, illusion, so many different things you can call it.
Yeah. So this is the grammar of knowledge.
Yeah. I was just trying to understand like the practical application, like is it to defeat in preaching, but you're saying it's amongst Vaishnavas as well.
It's amongst Vaishnavas, it's amongst talking to anyone. If you use it, then it will work very nicely. Because if you don't use it,
no, then in a sense, it's like not using grammar.
Yes, it's just like if grammar is used, then it gets a better effect.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like we always give the example in painting. You have modern art, so someone like Picasso. If you think modern art, Picasso comes to mind. You know, and Picasso goes back sometime. I think Picasso is dead, right? You know, probably quite dead. You know? I'm not sure if he's deader than Lenin, but you know, he's quite dead. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. But his paintings are famous, even though if you look at him, it doesn't seem to make much sense. But if you know art grammar, it makes sense. Well, others try to do modern art by just expressing themselves, and there's no grammar, and you know, you're not even sure. You know, definitely. Not putting on your wall, you're not even sure if you'd want to use it a rag to wipe your floor, right? You know, like that. You know, so, you understand? So, because there's no grammar, you understand? People just try to improvise if there's grammar. You know, it's just like some people improvise, they get something very short because they don't know the grammar of music. But let's say someone knows jazz, they know very much grammar. You know, does that make sense? So, of artists, they're nerds. You know what I'm saying? And then the Indian that has the most grammar, they can improvise all day. You know? While others would have, you know, they'll go on for a little while, you know, they'll do a riff for, you know, 10, 20, 30 seconds, a minute. Wow, that's long. But I've seen in South India, they're at a temple and every day they would have a wedding for Lord Vishnu there. So they're at the temple, and there's these two guys, one with the drum and one with the Nadeshwaram. It's like a very big shanai. And because, you know, they're setting up for this ceremony and all that, they just sit on the side and make music. People maybe listen, maybe not, but it creates a nice atmosphere in the temple. And they'll be doing that for hours. They just go on all day just improvising.
You know, one will do something, you know, on one instrument. The other are copied on the other, even though one's musical instrument, one's percussion instrument. They'll just copy it, and they'll just go back and forth all day. Why? Because they know the most grammar. You understand? So the more you understand the grammar, the more you'll be able to make a nice presentation. Does that make sense? Yeah. But it's not about the grammar. It's about what you're presenting. You understand? So if you get too caught up in the grammar, you'll also miss the point. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's called pedantic. Yeah. Then you become too worried about the detail. Yes.
So here in the footnote, the way of presentation that is mentioned, it seems that the Purva Paksha is categorized into two as Purva Paksha and Uttaram. And then
The Uttaram is what you're giving in back. Oh, it means in this definition.
Because the other two, what Gautama says and Baladeva Vidyabhushan says, seems equivalent. But when it comes to this footnote, it's not exactly as equivalent.
No, it's different. Point is if somebody's going to say something, you're not going to say something back.
Yes.
So in other words, within the concept of Udaharana, of your examples, that's where the other person is going to give his full logic, and you're going to give your answer. So his logic is Purva Paksha, your answer is the Uttara. But what are you doing, Udaharana, using example? You understand? So it's all in that category. It's just a matter of what you're doing with that. It's just like, let's say, okay, you have knives, okay? They all are sharp, they all cut. What if it's a very big, long knife? It has one name. If it's a medium, it's another. If it's a smaller, it has another. If it's square, it has another name. Right? You understand? But they're all knives. So that's the whole point, is that Udaharana is that third section. Now, depending how you're using it, if you're just in your own presentation and at that point giving examples, it's just called by that. But if somebody has a doubt, that's a Purva Paksha. If you're answering that doubt, that's the Uttara. Does that make sense? Because he's going to do his whole Panchanga Nyaya within that section. Because you're making the point. You've made the point, you've given your reasons. Now you have your examples, but he has his doubt. So he's going to try to use his whole Panchanga Nyaya within that third section, within his doubt. But you're going to show that, no, this is not correct. So you're going to then absorb his one, whatever it is he's trying to do, into yours in the fourth. And having done that, then this is the conclusion. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you have to catch with the concepts that are going on here. So the concepts may have more, or it means has so many elements to it. Okay. But they're all part of the same thing. Does that make sense? There's only these five sections. So even their Purva Paksha, they'll try to use all those five. Right? But the point is it's your discussion, therefore this is where their discussion fits into yours. Because if otherwise you have your theory, their theory, this, that, and your conclusion, their conclusion, what have you done? No, their whole thing is after you've made your point, they come up with theirs, and you have to absorb theirs before you give your final conclusion. Does that make sense? So you've made your point, you've made your reasons, but the point is in making reasons, they'll come up with their doubt, right? And then, having said their doubt, they're going to give their whole reasons, right? So because there's an overlap there, then you call them by this name, because then it's that you've made your point, now they make theirs, and then you say things, they say things, until such point as you can therefore absorb that point, right? So once you've done that, then you'll say you've come to the fourth stage. Otherwise, if you say a point, they say a point, it keeps going back and forth, you're still at the third stage.
Haven't synthesized.
Yeah, it has not been synthesized. Does that make sense? So that's the... Yes?
Just a side point. That in the Vedic knowledge, there is always that aspect of the vidya and kala. Vidya means the science, and kala means the application, the art of application.
Okay, yes.
So this Panchanga Nyaya, as presented here, this is the science.
Okay.
But the art of how you practically apply it, that depends on the audience or what you're trying to present. A particular topic will require a little bit more emphasis on the other. So we need not to be so rigid with it in thinking that it has to be like that. As Maharaj said, the principles is what's important. The application is very much in the hands of a person, the teacher, who presents it. So even we see in Vedanta Sutra, analysis, depending on the commentaries, they sometimes categorize it a little differently because they're trying to get a different point across, or they're making a presentation to a different type of listener. So, you know, that has to be also kept in mind, that the art of presentation, how the person will practically present it, that depends on the person presenting it as well.
Mm.
Just like Maharaj was giving the example of raga, there's a strict science of how raga works, but the person who performs the raga has that personal touch where they may improvise in a certain way to appeal and to inspire the listeners.
That makes sense. So these are all the different tools that you have to use. There's the science of what it is, then you have to use it. Okay, that's footnote 6. Okay, the subject is a statement of something worth this is the subject is a statement of something worthy of discussion. Footnote 7. The Vishaya subject is often a specific message from the Upanishads. Sangade means that the various statements found in various scriptures do not contradict the conclusion. Footnote 8. Nigamana, or Sangati, means agreement with the principal proposition of the work by other parts of the work, and the connection between the various sections. In other words, Sangati, or consistency, shows that there's no conflict in what precedes and what follows. Right? So the idea is that you can't have the work is said at Tato Brahma Jigyasa, and then it's not that there'll be some other subject matter going on, or some other conclusion. It'll all everything will be connected back to that, so you know that. So in Bhagavatam, everything will be connected back to the Supreme Lord. So here, everything will be connected back to inquiry about the Supreme. Does that make sense? That's the Sangati. And at the same time, it'll give references from within itself, references from other scriptures to back it up. These are all there, because that's also, I think, the sixth stage. Sangati is the sixth stage in the Mimamsa. No? The six things of Jaina. Said something.
Sublinga.
Yeah, Satparyalinga.
Satparyalinga.
Satparyalinga. It has the six of the six. Sixth one is Sangati, and then there's a whole definition with it. So yeah.
Supposed to be from the scriptures as it is, and the other parts should it also include the quotes or not necessarily?
It's Prabhupada always mentions that his examples he gives are from scripture, so that's always best.
But the first one should be.
It should be, yes. It should be based on the scripture, right? Or subject is often a specific passage. It's probably either a specific passage or your wording of the point that's being made. You know, like saying that Krishna is equal to everyone, right? But then the verse may have slightly different wording, you know, because of the poetic nature and everything else like that. So, yes.
Is this style of presenting knowledge just to discuss Vedic knowledge or some debate, or they can also be used in day-to-day relationships?
It can be used in anything. It's just how something's logically presented. You know, if you're not wanting to present something logical, then you may not use it. You know, you'll use all the points, but you don't necessarily use them in your order. You know, it's just like, let's say you're dealing with something touchy. So you don't make the point. You start with all the background and all the other things, and then the development of the relationship, and then this, and then how situations adjust and all that, and then comes around to this, and this happened, and so this, that, and then finally, the last thing you say is that. So, yeah.
Well, repeat
that on the posters.
Yes, 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 like that. Okay, sangati is of three sorts. One, consistency within the work is called shastra sangati. Consistency within the section is called adhyaya sangati. Consistency within the subsection is called pada sangati. Right? So the pada itself, then there's a natural form of one adhikarana is connected to the next. I think it's very common, I think in not sure if it's specifically, but in Baladev's and Vishwanath's commentary on, I remember it from Gita, is that with each verse, it will mention that this is there, this is what it's being, this will then bring around that. Remember, it's like many times you see Vishnu saying, okay, this is the point, this will be explained over the next seven verses, or in the next verse. So that's the sangati. That's showing that this is there, this is based on the past, and this is going to go into the next. So that's the sangati they're using. Or sometimes they go bigger, like you see is the bigger one. There's this here, therefore there's the sangati, that this question was asked, and therefore this whole pastime, what is 11 chapters of Bhagavatam on Nrisimhadeva's pastimes, is all actually the sangati connected back to this. So the main thing that's being brought out is how Krishna is equal to everyone. You know, we'll just say, oh, it's just Nrisimhadeva's pastime. Right, so he's equal to everyone. So that's being brought out, how he's dealing with Prahlad Maharaj, how he's dealing with Hiranyakashipu, how they're interacting. And all that's based on the whole thing of remembering the Lord and never forgetting the Lord. Is that some reason? Yes.
Can we say that modern science, they use only chronological sangati? Chronology, that's how it's connected? And in Bhagavatam, the histories are connected to some others?
You have both. You have both, is that... Yeah, they try to make it more the chronological and try to, but the underlying purpose of it they don't catch. Just as an example, the French Revolution is about, you know, how you say, equity, fraternity, liberty, right? Have you ever heard it discussed in when they're having your general classes that it's people who are just sick of 100 years of war between Protestants and Catholics, and they just wanted some kind of change? Because the government's supporting one or the other, and because of that, then there's all this fighting and wars going on. No. So, that's the point Bhagavatam would make. That is the point. That's the actual sangati. So when you show that going back, then it makes sense. You know? But otherwise, it's just meant that, oh no, this is just, they're just sitting around one day and just go, hey, what about all these wonderful things? But those are a solution to something else.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes. They felt that in this 100 years of that, this problem is lacking. There isn't. We're not looking at equity, that, you know, whether you're Protestant or Catholic, it doesn't matter. Fraternity, that we should all get along, you know, liberty, that, you know, we shouldn't be, you know, what do you call it, disturbed because of this. So that was the purpose. But because of the secular, you know, concept nowadays in education and government and all these things, you can't actually show the religious background. You can show that, okay, this in the religion they did this, and this time they're, you know, how you say, walking around their robes, and then this time then they're dipped into, you know, tar and hung up and lit for lighting the road, and at this time then when you get to, after you follow those lights to the road, when you get inside, then the same people will be being, you know, fed to the lions, you know, so like this. So it's just, but it's not about what their religion's for, why they're doing, why are they there? Why don't they go somewhere else, right? If you were smart, you'd pack up and leave. Like that. But because it's about the preaching, about the faith and all this thing, then, you know, it says, so that's the problem, is the modern, therefore all they have is the chronology. Because they're only looking at secondary facts. They're not looking at actually the principles behind them. You know, it's like the fish is there, it's a small fish, bigger fish come and harass it. So they push it up to the edge of the water, Sometimes it, you know, jumps out, gets away. Sometimes it jumps on the land and then flops back inside. It gets away. So after doing this for, you know, millions of years, then the fish thinks, you know, this is stupid, you know, I'm out of here. So he grows feet and walks out of the water and develops, you know, lungs instead of gills, and he's good. Right? So it's a slight problem, right? Because they're only trying to go by these external facts. So they can't understand what's behind it. Is that what it says? Yes.
I'm sorry if I talk too much. Let me know. The Sangati actually a very essential part of Vedanta philosophy. In Gita, Krishna says, "Sarvam etat idam manye, ritam manye," that I accept everything you say. Because he sees that Sangati, he sees that connection between all the different aspects of philosophy. Mm. We see also Srila Prabhupada's expertise in presenting our philosophy, that anybody he could speak to, he could find that Sangati, that connection between what the person is saying and Krishna conscious philosophy, and help that person become connected. So when we talk complete understanding of the absolute truth, means that somebody sees this Sangati, he sees everything in connection to the Lord, whatever is there, you know, in terms of Sambandha, Vidaya, Prayojana, it becomes one complete body of knowledge. When Sangati is not there, then, you know, somebody, either Karmi, Jnani, or Yogi, there's no, the Sangati is missing.
Yeah, it becomes haphazard.
Yes.
Yeah, so then that would be how we're kind of discussing the difference between logic and rhetoric. Because rhetoric is you just pick whatever points will be supportive of what you do. And logic will be then it's presented in a proper way. So if there's an interest in actual conclusion, that'll be logic. If you're just interested in winning, that's rhetoric. So because Krishna says in the Gita that of all the elements of logic, then Siddhanta, or coming to conclusion, is what he is. So if you come to Siddhanta, then you can say that whole logical presentation is Krishna. But if you don't, then it was just argument. So therefore he is the nature of argumentation between argumenters. Right? Is that
Mark?
Yes.
Bhakti-nuchana means seeing the Sangati.
Between all the subject matters, let alone in one subject matter. That's the whole idea, is when you can see is that there's the common element between all. So like Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan, you can see it in all the topics, and how they can relate to each other. That's the one it's trying to see. Because then it's consistent, your whole life is based on it. So the more complete that is, the more nice. Like you see Narad Muni, his life, very consistent, very nice. He gets along with everybody. He's there with the big kings. He's down in the forest with the thieves and the hunters.
Dacoys.
Same time, dacoys. The same thing. He's up there with the great sages. So the thing, he can work with anybody because he has this completeness. You know, he's the example of Anucha. Anuchana means you understand the subject matter, you know, it's sangati within itself, and you understand the sangati between that subject matter and other subject matters. So when you basically, you would say, when you understand all the 14 books and their connection to each other, that would be anuchana. Okay.
You can see the Srila Prabhupada and all the purpose according to the Siddhanta.
Yes, you see in Gita he'll quote Bhagavatam, and Bhagavatam will quote Gita. Chaitanya Charitamrita will quote Bhagavatam.
But there is this objection that his purpose are not appropriate, because Krishna sometimes is not speaking about bhakti.
There's real scholarship and then there's so-called scholarship. Just because one has See, that's the weakness with IQ, right? Because IQ is the symptom of intelligence. IQ simply means that you can analyze things and tell the difference between things or the commonality. That's all. That you can see patterns, you can see this. But your ability to use that to advantage, that's not discussed when it comes to IQ. So the whole point is if you can analyze things nicely, in the modern academy you're considered intelligent. But that you can come to a conclusion, that they don't do. It's against the academy. It's the number one no-no, is to bring conclusion. So that's why they'll say these things. Why are they saying it? Because the point is if conclusion is the main thing, they should be happy that, in their view, at least some of the purports come to conclusion. And then the others are just, you know, seem to be not so conclusive, so that is not as ideal. But why are they pointing out it's not the ones that appear to be not conclusive? Because then they can speculate. They say, oh, it's not always about Krishna, so we can also talk not always about Krishna, rather than, no, the purpose is about Krishna, we should be talking about Krishna. So it's not in line with the mood of the Gita. And that's the first point Prabhupada points out in the introduction, is you have the right mood, you can understand. You don't have the right mood, it doesn't matter how smart you are, or how smart people think you are, or how smart you think you are, you're not going to understand Gita. So when they say, oh, Prabhupada this, Prabhupada that, they just don't understand. Even technically. That's the problem. But because of their ego, they think, I have a tertiary or a quaternary degree in the Western Academy, therefore I'm smarter than everybody, therefore if I can't understand it, it's not understandable. But what they don't understand is it's Krishna reveals. Lord Mars is 5 years old, like that. He's just started school, and he's already explaining Siddhanta. So he already knew that before he went to school. And others, they've gone to school for 20, 30 years, and they still don't understand Siddhanta. So it's a matter of revelation. It's not a matter of IQ, you know, quickness, cleverness, these things, no. Unless you can practically apply it. So it's just like, if you can't apply that knowledge, then what's the point? You know, they're so strict on, no, it has to be according to the, what do you call it, academic method. But who said? That's an old archaic thing from Bologna. Right? I don't know about other Anglo-Saxon cultures, but in America, if we say something's nonsense, we say it's baloney. You know? And so, you know, baloney is how Americans say Bologna. So the university starts in baloney, you know, and then we're supposed to take it seriously, you know? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's maybe like saying, yes, the first, you know, Western university started in Idiotville. How serious are we supposed to take this? You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is but 1,000 years of baloney, we're supposed to take seriously, and it's sacrosanct, and it's, you know, what do you call it? Dogmatic, that you can't even, you know, touch it. But anything else other than that, any other authority, then is all up for discussion. Vedic authority, Prabhupada, Krishna, anybody's up for discussion. And that's intellectual. I'm just being broad-minded. Well, if you're being broad-minded, then maybe the modern academic method has its weaknesses. You know, it's just like the atheist. Scientist, if he's really scientific, then you can't prove there isn't a God, so therefore as a theorem, then you have a 50-50, it is. So 50-50 is as good as any theory. There's no theorem better than 50-50, so it's as good as everything else. So therefore it would be accepted as one of the theorems. But it's not. Why? Because the mind gets in the way. It's their mood, it's their attachments. Even though they claim to be so elevated objective. Yeah, they're totally subjective. I mean, absolutely totally. They won't like to hear this. This kind of discussion will, you know, they'll see red, they'll freak out, they'll yell, scream, they'll stand up, they'll, you know, steam will whistle out of their navel. But the whole point is it's
Quite an image.
Yes, exactly. What do you call it? Beyond the fish. Yeah, so. You understand? But the point is it's totally subjective. You know, so the whole point is that objectivity means their subjectivity. Anybody else's subjectivity is totally, you know, bogus. Only their subjectivity is good. So that's the weakness to the whole thing. So that's why then here is the actual authority on how logic works, how intelligence works. You present it according to this. So we see Prabhupada quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, that's intelligent. You don't follow it, then it's just, you know, how you say, the clanging of empty pots. It makes a lot of noise, but there's no substance. They're empty. Does that make sense? You know, that's the problem with the modern. We think who's the loudest, then that's there, but it's just a bunch of empty pots.
Actually, it could be the ignorance portion.
Yes, it could be.
Yeah, it could be.
How much they're opposed to the Vedic version. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada explains that intelligence is of two types. There is purified intelligence and intelligence. So
unpurified.
So purified intelligence means intelligence which is free from the influence of the mind and specifically material desire. How can one be objective when one has attachment to material existence? So that's the weakness that they attached, and therefore whatever they see, whatever they analyze, they do it to that eye or that perspective, to the attachment.
Yeah, in other words, in some situations, wearing those particular sunglasses that you would wear on the North Pole for the, you know, brightness off the snow, if you wear it in regular situations, you may not be able to see. So when you always look through the academic perspective, it's not necessarily that it'll be to advantage in all situations. Yeah. But the false ego as such is, no, that's the way they are. I have a quaternary degree, therefore, you know, I must understand everything.
My understanding is perfect.
My understanding is perfect. I will understand more. I will be more perfect in the future. I have defeated my enemy. Yes. Like that.
So many hours I've shown to be imperfect.
Yes. So it's a problem. See, the thing is intelligence isn't the problem. It's a misuse of it. So we're not saying that they're not smart. And we're not saying that they're not the smartest people on the planet, you know, as a group. We're just saying is that you could say is they have the most misapplication of smartness of any group in the planet. You know, at least the business guys make some profit out of it. You know, they get something for it, you know. Okay, for example, as stated by Srila Prabhupada, Brahman is the main theme of the Vedanta Sutra. Therefore, an interpretation of any passage, in order to fulfill the condition of Shastra Sangati, must not go away from the subject matter of Brahman. Secondarily, each adhyaya section has a particular topic of its own, and a passage must be interpreted consistently with the topic of that adhyaya. Right? Because as we mentioned before, the four sections, then they have their four topics. So within that, they have to have the sangati.
That's four topics related to Brahman.
Brahman, yes, yes. Similarly, there must be consistency within the points of the subsections, the padasangati. Like all the ones in there, they have to be consistent. So you can see a progression there. Then it goes into the next pada. Besides these three sangatis, there must be a logical relationship between the adhikaranas themselves. One adhikarana leads to another through some particular association of ideas.
In a pada, there are many adhikarnas, and they are not put together haphazardly. The sangati which binds one adhikarna with another is of six sorts. Akshepsha, or objection, right? There's an objection, and that's if something's been there, so you're showing what's... In other words, each one goes, the adhikarna works in these things, but it also works in that bigger. You're showing the various kinds of objections. Right? Dishtanta, or illustration. Pratidishtanta, or counter-illustration. Prasanga, or accidental illustration. Utpati, or introduction. And apavada, or exception. Right. So then how you're going is how you're connecting them. In other words, there's something there, there's an objection to that point, and so therefore it's being, that's the connection. Right? Or it's giving an illustration. That point has been made, and now you illustrate it. Right? It's just like here, we haven't gotten into the story in the Bhagavatam of Nrisimhadeva yet, because he's saying his point. Now his illustration of that, then you're going to have 10 chapters.
Yeah, like somebody could ask, what do potatoes have to do with Vedanta philosophy? What is an illustration you often use?
Okay, yes. Yes. That's good. Is that... Yes, sir. So then the illustration, that will be brought out to show what it is. Mm-hmm. So that you understand it. Just like in the point is that you've made your point. So it's all based on the point, Tato Brahma Jigyasa, and establishing that. Now somebody might have an objection to that, or somebody's come up with an objection, so it's an objection to the objection, you know, the uttara, like this. Or then there's the examples that you're giving, so then also the adhikarna may be as a further producing example for previous ones. Does that make sense? Yeah. Or counter-illustration, that in the opposition it's given an illustration, you're giving a counter-illustration. So this is all, you know, in other words, the sangati is based kind of on udaharana. Does that make sense? Or prasanga, or incidental illustration. Hear what incidental would mean?
Well, just sometimes think of the ten, like you give a potato illustration and then somebody starts talking about, well, in Brazil there's a potatoes and it just goes on.
Oh, okay, so it's like, yeah. So in other words, it's something that will have some validity for it the more you understand, but it's not exactly on the point. It's illustrating a point. So you want to be careful there. You know, like before we got into, you know, Hiranyakashipu and meditation and bones. That's incidental. And utpati, or introduction. So you're bringing in, you're trying to establish something. So you'll introduce the thing. So there's all kinds of things. It may not be the main point, but it's the background before it. And apavada, or exception. Because the exception proves the rule. So you show that here's the thing, here's an exception. So that shows that this is the exception. Everything else follows the rule. Because otherwise, it's just like, if you're using, rhetoric, somebody says something, the first thing you do is find the one exception that there is. And it'll always be the same one. But everyone thinks they're so intellectual, they've come up with something that everybody says the same thing. But, okay, other than that, is there an example? No. So that's the thing, it proves it. Yes.
The third one, Pratidishtanta, the counter-illustration, does that also include, like in the logic of the smoke on the hill, you say, the illustration is the fire in the kitchen.
Yes.
And the counter-illustration is, like in a lake, there's no fire, there's no smoke.
Okay. Yes. And yes, it could be like that. I think there's even more breakdown, I think, in Mimamsa and stuff like that.
One is the positive concomitance and the other is the negative.
Yes, or also it can mean that, Jaimini said this, and given his whole things and his illustrations and his whole introduction, and then now we're countering that. Yeah, so it can be any of that.
These points are important because the whole Vedic, we talk about Shruti, and Shruti means a dialogue between the teacher and the students. So in the dialogues, all those different things happen, you know, different individuals, so hence You know, these techniques are given to better understand the nature of those dialogues.
Yes, it'll be discussing about something, and then, oh, how is this happening?
Yes.
So it's not part of actually the main discussion. It's a side part, but it brings it out more fully about it. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, before we'd be going through stuff, and then those who are, you know, visiting, then they'll ask questions that don't technically connect with it, but it's based off words that have been used. But reviewing that then is you know, because it's a nice thing for everybody. But, you know, once you pass about the third or fourth year, it kind of loses its,
freshness,
yes, you know. It's
incidental illustration.
Yeah, it goes down to about 13 on Rotten Tomatoes. So it just doesn't work, though. You understand?
Also, the definitions are not clear. The definitions, the two opponents may be speaking on different subjects.
Yes, so then you have to, that's why logic is used so that doesn't happen. You have common, like I gave examples that, like I remember many times happening, you know, the evening, you know, most important philosophical discussions that happen after when you should be in bed, you know, like that, and then go on for hours. And I remember after 3 hours, so many times after 3 hours, we find out we're talking exactly the same thing. We just have a different definition of a particular word. So the word they're using and the word you're using are exactly the same. Everything's exactly the same. It's just that that word they use, I have a different definition. The word I'm using, they have a different. So that's what we were arguing over for 3 hours. And after 3 hours, you find out you were saying exactly the same thing.
Sometimes in details, it may be like, I'm proving that the sky is blue, and the opponent is proving that the grass is green.
But it's an understand lying thing is that, you know, Krishna arranged the sky is blue and grass is green. But my point is if you follow logic, then it's more easy to deal with. You stick to the point, because the point that's been made, that's what you talk about, not whatever you like. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Govardhana ki.